إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا وسيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا أما بعد I welcome all of you and continue reading from the book of our noble Sheikh Al-Allama Dr. Salah Al-Fawzan Hafidhahu Allah Al-Ajuba Al-Mufida and As'ilat Al-Manahij Al-Jadida Beneficial Answers to Questions on Innovated Methodologies. We're going to continue tonight reading from the footnotes about some of the deviant people, famous people in our times. Because the question was, is clarifying some of the errors found in the books of Hizbiyya, partisanship, or deviant groups that have recently come into our country considered opposing the cause. And the Sheikh, he mentioned that no, it is not. Because these books are not books of Dawah. It contains evil. So it is incumbent upon the ulama of Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah to clarify these matters to the people. Anyone who opposes what the Prophet ﷺ left for us, the ulama of Ahlul Sunnah, they refute such a person. Especially the people of innovation. And these people, for example, we started by Al-Mawdudi. Al-Mawdudi is a famous guy amongst the people of Ahlul Bidah. He has books translated into so many languages. This is a dangerous man. He's a corrupt and a deviant person. And he has left a lot of corruption in his books. So it's very important to know this man, Al-Mawdudi, Abu Al Al-Mawdudi. You don't listen to his work, you do not read his books. Also, the second person we learned about last week, Muhammad Surur ibn Naif Zain al-Abidin. He's a Sururi, a deviant person, who caused a lot of trouble and still causing a lot of trouble. According to his ideas that opposes that which Ahlul Sunnah are upon. And thirdly, Hassan al-Banna. Hassan al-Banna, the founder of the Ikhwan al-Muslimun. He was a Sufi, Qubori, this man. And he praised the Sufiya and attended their gatherings and circles of dancing and chanting and the like. And he's an ignorant man, Hassan al-Banna, ignorant person. Fourth, Sayyid Qutb. This is a famous guy. As we're going to start tonight with this man, Sayyid Qutb, who is a very famous, one of the big symbols of Al-Ikhwan al-Muslimun. Of course, Ikhwan al-Muslimun is a deviant group. One of the contemporary deviant groups, along with Jama'at al-Tabligh and others, Ahbash and the like. This is Sayyid Qutb. He says, we mentioned previously some of his statements with regard to creed under the footnote to question number 19. Because we are in question number 46. So he says we have mentioned previously some of his statements with regard to creed under the footnote to question number 19. But as for his degradation and criticism of Uthman, he is one of the Khulafa al-Rashidun, he is the best of this ummah after Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam and Abu Bakr and Umar. We have Abu Bakr, Umar, and Uthman, the Dhun-Nurayn, the one who possessed two lights, because no one ever through the history of mankind, there is no man that married two daughters of one prophet, except this man, Uthman. The Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, when one of his daughters died, the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam married him to another one. The ulama, they said, there is nobody in the history of a human being, there is no man that married two daughters of one prophet. This is the one that the Prophet ﷺ said about him, that the angels are shy of him. تستحي منه الملائكة. And now see what this man said, Qutb, who's to Ikhwan al-Muslimun. And by the way, this Ikhwan al-Muslimun, they were founded by Al-Hasan, Hasan al-Banna in Egypt. Don't you think they're just in Egypt? They're everywhere. They have them right here in Clarkston, and they have them in Lawrenceville, and Jimmy Carter in this area. They have them all over the world. Okay? And they're causing a lot of problems. So as related to his degradation and criticism of Uthman, because we in the Aqidah of Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah, we respect the Sahaba. We love them. We talk nothing but good about them. Even those Sahaba that some things took place between them, we still do not talk bad about them. We don't take a side to one and we start talking bad about the other. La. So now this man, considering his degradation and criticism of Uthman, radiallahu anhu, then he has filled his book, meaning the book, this man, Sayyid Qutb, he has filled his book, Social Justice in Islam. Al-Adala al-Ijtima'iyya fil Islam. Okay? Look what he said in his book, Social Justice in Islam. He says, this concept of actual rulership changed without a doubt during the reign of Uthman. Of course, he meant for the worse. Okay? Even though it remained within the confines of Islam. He says the Khilafah was passed on to Uthman while he was an old man. Look how he talks about this companion. Degrading and criticizing one of the best of the people. He says the Khilafah, meaning after the death of Umar radiallahu anhu, because the Sahaba of Shura, the council of the Sahaba that Umar left behind him to decide one of them to be the Khalifa, he says that the Khilafah was passed on to Uthman while he was an old man, and behind him was Marwan ibn al-Hakam, who would administer the affairs for him from deviating away from Islam. Page 214 of the 7th edition. So now, look, they mentioned the edition, the page, because now if you go to Ikhwan al-Muslimin and tell them, your man Sayyid Qutb said this, they're like, no, that's impossible. How could he say something about the Sahabi? You tell them, here is the page and here is the edition. They still tell you, no, maybe somebody put that in there. Instead of saying, Jazakumullah khairan, subhanAllah, we were wrong about this guy. That is blind. Okay? And he said, meaning Sayyid Qutb, Uthman granted his daughter's husband, Al-Harith ibn al-Hakam, 200,000 dirhams from the treasury house. And one day he gave Zubair 600,000 dirhams and Talha 200,000. I mean, he's accusing Uthman of misusing the money. Okay? The funds, wal-iyadu billah, giving it to his friends and to his family members, wal-iyadu billah, accusing a companion. this companion who gave almost all his wealth for the sake of Allah, now he's going to misuse the wealth of the people. وَلْهِيَادُ بِاللَّهِ. And this man, Sayyid Qutb, now for Ikhwan al-Muslimun, he's like, you cannot talk about him. They may fight you. If you tell them Sayyid Qutb is a deviant, you got to be careful. Then some of them may fight you, literally. He says, we would like to know the sources of these dangerous words. If they cannot be presented, we say to the noble reader, refer to the book Al-Awasim, Min Al-Qawasim, of Abu Bakr ibn al-Arabi, page 61 to 146, for a refutation of these fabrications and lies. Sayyid Qutb says and by the way, this man Sayyid Qutb, he was not a alim or scholar. He was just a man to have some eloquence. He was not a scholar. He didn't study the deen or nothing. Okay? And there is many people like him these days. You find a person with a PhD in chemistry and talks about Islam. You find a person who is an engineer, electrical engineering, he writes books about Islam and the like. وَلْعِيَادُ بِاللَّهِ. So Sayyid Qutb says in the aforementioned book, page 217, Uthman, meaning the noble companion, radiallahu anhu, passed on to his Lord's mercy while leaving behind the Umayyad dynasty in effect, thanks to the power he established for them in the lands, especially in Syria, and thanks to the Umayyad foundations he established, which go against the spirit of Islam. Look at this man, accusing Uthman to go against Islam. In terms of setting up inherited kinship, which he amazingly introduced into the general spirit of Islam. He also said in page 234 in the same book, The Social Justice in Islam, Al-Adal al-Islami of Islam, he said, and we incline to the view that the Khilafah of Ali was a natural extension of the Khilafah of the two Shaykhs, Abu Bakr and Umar, that came before him, and that the term of Uthman, which in actuality was governed by Marwan, was just a gap in between. You see? Can a person be on the haqq and be a great scholar, a great imam, saying things like this? But he is to Al-Ikhwan al-Mublisun, as Sheikh Muqbil rahimahullah al-Wadi'i from Yemen, he used to call them, he's going, Ikhwan Mublisun, because they are the Ikhwan of Shaitan, of Iblis. And they are Ikhwan Muflisun, because Muflisun mean al-ilm, or mean al-ma'rifah, because they are bankrupt from knowledge and sound understanding. There is one of their leaders, they call him a Shaheed, the martyr. This is their Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah, right here. Anything this man said, they do it. You can bring them anything that opposes what this man said. They're like, look, man, they down with their men. Wal-iyadu billah. Hizbiya. So now he's saying that actually the Khilafah of Uthman is a gap. It's not even considered. The Khilafah is only with Abu Bakr, Umar, and Ali. It's Allah, as-salamu al-afiyah. For more information on this, refer to the book of Sheikh Rabi' ibn Hadi al-Madkhali. Now you can go. Sheikh Rabi' hafidhahullah, he exposed this man with the adillah. That's why Sheikh Rabi' is the most hated of all the people on this planet to Ikhwan al-Muslimun. If you tell them Sheikh Rabi', that's it. You find this Ikhwan al-Muslimun in the masajid when there is people of Sunnah and Salafiyyah around, they bring adillah, a statement of Sheikh bin Baz, Sheikh bin Uthaymeen, even though they hate bin Baz and bin Uthaymeen. Anyone who opposes what they are upon, they hate them. But they want to play games on the people. Sheikh bin Baz, bin Uthaymeen. But if you tell them Sheikh bin Baz says, oh, Sheikh bin Baz, Allahu Akbar, even though inside they don't want that. But Sheikh Rabi' is like a thorn in their what? Throat. They won't tell you, oh, Sheikh Rabi', as soon as you say Sheikh Rabi' says, no, this man is this, no, this man is this. What? Sheikh Rabi' said all time, okay, show me where in my books that I have wronged this man. If I'm wrong, I'm only human. Okay, yes, I could be wrong. Show it to me in my books. Here is my books against this Ikhwan Muslimun, against their leaders, especially Hassan al-Banna and Sayyid Qutb. Show me where I went wrong, and I will correct it. Okay? So Sheikh Rabi' Hafidhullah Ta'ala said, anyone who wants more, let him refer to the book of Sheikh Rabi' Hafidhullah Ta'ala Mata'in Sayyid Qutb fi Ashabi Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Sheikh Rabi' has many books against this man, refuting his mistakes, so that the Muslims, they be upon clarity, they don't be deceived by him. So he said, refer to the book of Sheikh Rabi' ibn Hadi al-Madkhali that is entitled Sayyid Qutb's Revilement of the Companions of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi the fifth person is who? Hassan al-Turabi, right? Hassan al-Turabi from Sudan. But before we read to you, let me read to you from this edition in the Arabic, because like I told you, the Arabic is the edition number 3, Tabi' al-Thalitha, but the English is the edition number 2. So there is something that is added in the third edition of the Arabic. Of course, we're not going to blame the translator because he used the second edition. And I told you last week that in the editions, you may find in the third edition more information. Okay? Especially in our times. When the edition come after years, like for now, for example, you will find, of course, if one of the ulama wrote about fitan and trials and tribulations 10 years ago, you're not going to hear nothing about Libya or Egypt or Syria. Why? Who knows? Because he wasn't there, it's the end scene, who knows? But now if somebody wrote about the fitan trials, he may mention that. Tayyib. Sayyid Qutb, in his book Ma'rakat al-Islam wal-Ra'smaliyya, The Battle of Islam and Capitalism. Islam and Capitalism, okay? He says, وَلَا بُدَّ لِلْإِسْلَامِ أَنْ يَحْكُمْ لِأَنَّهُ الْعَقِيدَ الْوَحِيدَ. So, he says, وَلَا بُدَّ لِلْإِسْلَامِ أَنْ يَحْكُمْ. Islam has to be the, what? The source of hukum, of law. Is this is wrong? No, this is good. Okay, but look what he's going to say after that. لِمَاذَا قَالْ لِأَنَّهُ الْعَقِيدَ الْوَحِيدَ الْإِجَابِيَّ الْإِنْشَائِيَّ الَّتِي تَصُوغُ مِنَ الْمَسِيحِيَّةِ والشيوعية معا مزيجا كاملا يتضمن أهدافها جميعا ويزيد عليهما التوازن والتناسق والاعتدال. Crazy stuff. He says, why? Because Islam is the only creed, positive creed, that takes from Christianity and communism. Islam takes from Christianity and communism. What's wrong with these people who are still looking at this man, he's Sheikh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah. Better. They look at him as better than Sheikh al-Islam, better than Imam Ahmad. He says, because why Islam should rule? Why people should resort to the ruling of Islam? Because Islam is the only creed that combines the Christian belief and communism in a beautiful and complete mixture. That guarantees for all of them, for Muslims, Christians, communists, what they want. But Islam had some extra. Ya ibadallah, subhanallah. وسئل الشيخ العلامة محمد بن صالح العثيمين عن هذه المقالة. الشيخ العثيمين رحمه الله تعالى, he was asked about this statement of Sayyid Qutb. That Islam is a mixture between Christianity, communism, and this and that. Okay? He says, المسيحي دين مبدل والشيوعي دين الباطل لا أصل له. Sheikh Al-Uthaymeen, he says, first of all, Christianity is a religion that has been altered and tampered with. Christians, they don't practice what Isa received from Allah. No, they changed it because Isa never brought Trinity from Allah. Isa didn't bring shirk from Allah. So he says, first of all, this man is talking about Islam is a mixture of Christianity and communism. He said, first of all, Christianity is being altered and tampered with and changed. As for communism, it is not even a religion. It's falsehood. He has no asl. At least, yes, if people say, look, Isa came from Allah with this, yes, there is an origin for it. Communism is not a religion that came from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's not a message of Allah. From Allah. ومن قال إن الإسلام مزيج من هذا وهذا فهو إما جاهل بالإسلام وإما مغرر بما عليه الأمم الكافرة من النصارى والشيوعيين. He said, and therefore, anyone who says Islam is a mixture of this and that, mixture of Christianity and communism, whether he is an ignorant person or someone who is deceived by the kuffar from among the Christian and the communist. You see? This is Sayyid Qutb. Now if you come and tell them, oh no, if you go to Ikhwani and tell them, well, this is your man, Sayyid Qutb, said Islam is a mixture between Christianity and communism, what are they going to tell you? No way. You guys lie on this man because he's the Shaheed, because he was this. I said, yeah, it's in his book. No, that's not his book. That's not his book. You guys are teaching it. And you say this is his book, you refer to it. They don't want to hear it, wal-iyadu billah. But if Allah put a seal on someone's heart, you think you have the keys to open it? No. But it's very important for us to know this. وقال الشيخ المحدث إسماعيل بن محمد الأنصاري رحمه الله جوابا على هذه المقالة. Another great sheikh, المحدث إسماعيل, the son of Muhammad al-Ansari رحمه الله. He says, in refutation of this statement of سيد قطب, فإن كلمة ذلك المدعى المذكور كلمة تدعو إلى وحدة الأديان وإلى التقرير بينهما. انتهى. He said, this statement of this man, meaning سيد قطب, is a statement that called to وحدة الأديان. What is it in English? Unity of religions. Meaning all religions are the same. You be a Jew, Christian, Muslim, Buddhist, it's you're okay. Is it the case? لا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله. وقال الشيخ محمد بن محمد الأنصاري. I'm still reading to you what's in the third edition, and it's not in the second edition. If you're following me on the second edition in English, you won't find that because it is not in the second edition. It's in the third edition. وقال الشيخ المحدث حماد بن محمد الأنصاري رحمه الله جوابا على هذه المقالة نفسها. Also one of the great محدث الشيخ حماد بن محمد الأنصاري رحمه الله. In refutation of this statement of سيد قطب, what did he say? إذا كان قائل هذا الكلام حيا فيجب أن يستتاب, فإن تاب وإلا قتل مرتدا. لا إله إلا العلماء وفهل السنة. He says, the one who said this statement is, if he's still alive, the ruler should bring him and tell him what you're saying is dangerous. Repent. Take it back. Go back to the truth. If he does, it's okay. If not, he will be executed. Because that's apostasy from Islam. وَإِنْ كَانَ قَدْ مَاتْ فَيَجِبُ أَنْ يُبَيَّنْ أَنَّ هَذَا كَلَامٌ بَاطِلٌ وَلَا نُكَفِّرُهُ لِأَنَّنَا لَمْ نُقِمْ عَلَيْهِ الْحُجَّةِ. He says, but if the man who said this is deceased, died already? We have to make clear, he says, that this statement is falsehood. It's batil, void, not right. But we do not consider him a kafir, this man, because we did not establish the proof against him. Okay? And by the way, all of these statements here that the brother mentioned, the Sheikh mentioned, is from, you can find them in the book of Sheikh Rabi' ibn Hadi al-Madkhali, حفظه الله تعالى العواصم مما في كتب سيد قطب من القواسم العواصم مما في سيد مما في كتب سيد قطب من القواسم. And we go back now to the second edition, the English translation. The fifth of these Ikhwanis and people of Dalal and cause a lot of trouble, and many people are deviated because of their books and because of their statements and because of their ideologies and the like. Hassan al-Turabi. Hassan al-Turabi is in Sudan. Why this man is deviant? Is he because he's a Sudanese? Has nothing to do with the people of Sudan. There is good people in Sudan. He's deviant is not because he's from Sudan. Doesn't matter where he's from. There are deviant people from Saudi Arabia, from Mecca, from Medina, they deviant. Doesn't matter. Has nothing to do with his country of origin. Has to do with his statements and his aqidah, his manhaj, his position he took. So what's wrong with this man, Hassan al-Turabi? Not because he's white or black, Arab, non-Arab, rich or poor. Has nothing to do with that. Tall or short, blah. He says in his book, okay, this man, Hassan al-Turabi, he says in his book, Ad-Dinu wal-Fan. Look at the title. Ad-Din wal-Fan. The Religion and the Fine Arts. He has a book, The Religion and the Fine Arts. Page 91 of the first edition, the year 1408 of the Hijrah. Look what he says, this man. Since the religion is also an allegorical implementation, it coincides with the unseen, transcends the outer facet of the worldly life and strives for eternalness. Did you understand anything? These people crazy, man. So it can't be achieved from anything. Look now. So it can't be achieved from anything, and it takes every means that lead to Allah. Every means. Every means that lead to Allah. SubhanAllah. The fine arts have a strong link to the religion, and it is possible that the religion and the arts may be in harmony at times. You see? Dancing, music, it's all okay. So for example, he gives examples, see? So for example, singing may guide a person to have faith. And in truth, his faith may inspire him to produce additional arts. Now, speech like this needs no commentary, does it? Huh? SubhanAllah. Does a speech like this need a commentary? Music that is haram in Islam leads to faith? At-Turabi, keep in mind, who's deviated, he's a deviant person, not because he's Arab or non-Arab, or he's from this country or the other, because of these statements and their positions. Also said in page 98, when the people began to rest after establishing the foundations of Islam in the Hijaz area, i.e. Saudi Arabia, and when livelihood and its possibilities expanded. Look now. He said singing, music, and musical instruments began to spread. And it has been reported on many of the tabi'een and scholars that they would listen to singing. Accusing the tabi'een of listening to music and the scholars. So the Shaykh, he says, Jamal ibn Furayhan al-Harithi, not Shaykh Fawzan, he says, so reflect, O noble reader, at how al-Turabi praises music and singing and accuses the tabi'een. The tabi'een, they are one of those generations that are praised by the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He said, the best of my ummah, the best of the people is my generation and those who follow them. He says, so reflect, O noble reader, at how al-Turabi praises music and singing and accuses the tabi'een and the scholars of listening to music and songs. May Allah give him what he deserves. He said also, this Hassan al-Turabi, he also said in a page 106, of his book. What was the book again? Ad-Din wal-Fan. The religion and fine arts. He says, there is no harm in artwork, whether it is in the form of pictures or drawing of individuals, things, and events. And there is no harm, this is Hassan al-Turabi still saying in his book, and there is no harm in nice, beautiful speech, whether it is in the form of poetry, literature, drama, or singing. And he continues saying, he says, and there is no harm in spreading information, whether by giving sermons, telling stories. The deen now is based on stories. Telling stories, and so on, except for those that contain falsehood in them. And there is no harm, he says, and there is no harm in the visual and audible arts, such as singing, dancing, or music, unless it leads a person to have unlawful manners. Nor is there any harm in art performances, such as the theatrical plays, right? The plays in theater, or for targeting larger audiences, movies and television. So this man is like, okay, just go and do what you gotta do. Waliyadu billah. So the Shaykh, he said, this is audacity against the religion. For someone to be considered a sheikh, a big man, and talks like this. So this is audacity against the religion, and we ask Allah to protect and save us. Ameen. In which He permits singing, music, dancing, theater, and film acting, and so on. O Allah, guide the astray one amongst the Muslims. Ameen. Noble reader, I wish I didn't have to burden your ears with these sickening statements that bring disease to the hearts. However, I only relay them due to the obligation of clarifying the errors, mistakes, and danger of this man and his likes, so that the people can be aware of his reality and not be fooled by him, and so they can no longer be deceived by him more than they already have. Take this one last example from me about him. He said, al-Turabi said in a page 110 of the aforementioned book, once again, Al-Fan Al-Islam wal-Fan, the religion and fine arts, what he says. Listen to this one. If you think you already listened to something, well, listen to this one. Huh? You've been shaking your heads. Listen to this one. He said, now who's saying? Hassan al-Turabi. He said, so we must use the fine arts to worship Allah. No, we must. You're not even saying, well, those who are using arts, maybe they're right. Who knows? Yeah, maybe they have. I don't know. Ask them. No, he said, we must. We must use the fine arts to worship Allah. And he gave you even an explanation. He said, since by doing the opposite of this, many people will go astray. So now this man is a sheikh. He's a big alim, like Sheikh al-Islam Ibn Taymiyyah for these ikhwanis, ikhwal muslimun. Those who do not worship Allah by art, meaning you worship Allah by Quran, by Sunnah, by what the Prophet ﷺ left the companions upon, you're astray, brother. That's Allah salam al-afiyah. He says, it is possible that people can be guided through fine arts. So whoever neglects it, meaning the arts, he leaves open a wide door to fitna that will cause heedlessness of Allah and call for him to be disobeyed. I'm getting sick just reading this. And whoever applies it according to the way it should be opens, the way it should be opens a wide door to calling to Allah by presenting an attraction to something beautiful and in an invitation to worship Him with the most beautiful forms of worship. La hawla la. And of course, ya akhwan, this is very important for us to understand. It's not like this is not for entertainment. May Allah guide this man. But since this is his statements, people need to know. We need to know the statements of these deviant people who are now causing a lot of problems. Problems in their countries and elsewhere. Not only in Sudan. This man's books and statements are in Africa, they are in Asia, in America, in Europe. Translated in so many languages. Now you're going to go tell somebody, okay, music is haram. It's like, come on, man, you're better than Turabi and Qardawi and all of them would say Sha'rawi and they say, no, it's okay, music is good. So the Sheikh, he said, look at this open call to the arts by a Turabi. He's warning against those who neglect it. And his claim that whoever applies it will be opening a wide door, subhanAllah, for da'wah. And I wish he had stopped here. But he goes on to say, a wide door to calling to Allah. This is the condition of the Ikhwan al-Muslimun, ya ibadallah. The Ikhwan al-Muslimun. They have so many supporters, hamukallah, because they are ignorant of the deen of Allah. Many people support Ikhwan al-Muslimun on this battle. This is the condition of the Ikhwan al-Muslimin. They permit plays and they innovated anashid of the Sufis, not to mention lies and distortions, all for the sake of benefiting the da'wah, as they claim. These acts are from the distinguishing signs and characteristics of the Ikhwan al-Muslimin, who abide by the principle, the end result justifies the means. Al-ghaya tubarrir al-wasila. Meaning, if you want to get there, follow any path. Doesn't matter. But them, what ghaya? They don't call to tawheed. They don't call to sunnah. Politic. For them to get to the politics and the parliament, everything becomes permissible. وَلِيَادُ بِاللَّهِ. Some وقت الأذان. So the Ikhwan al-Muslimun, they say the end result justifies the means, but in Islam both the end result and the means has to be legislated and it has to be good in the deen of Allah. You want to do something good, it has to be good in the deen of Allah. In Islam, somebody wants to do something good, it has to be good in what Allah has legislated. Don't come up with an idea and say, man, it's good. Okay? And then how you get to it, it has to be legislated too. Don't just come up with ideas and say, look, we know it's about you, we got to do this. No, you can't. You got to do what Allah commands you to do in Quran and the Sunnah of the Prophet. Some of their activities, meaning Ikhwan Muslimun, includes summer camps, summer centers, field trips, and camp outings. These are from the mandates and plans of the founder of Al-Ikhwan al-Muslimin sect, Hassan al-Banna. The proof for this is what he said in his book, Mudakkirat al-Da'wa wa-Da'iyah, page 270. He said these groups, the tour groups of the Ikhwan al-Muslimin, originated after the inception of the Ikhwani Da'wah, and its first groups almost didn't disband. I myself, he said, joined one of these groups, and I would personally coach some of the sports activities in it. And inshallah, next week we will continue reading about these summer camps, which the ulama of Ahl al-Sunnah al-Jama'ah, they mentioned that Al-Ikhwan al-Muslimun, by these camps, they target the youth to take them away from the ulama. In the summer, for example, when there is no school, the ulama, they advise the parents, okay, when your children finish school, the ulama, they do a lot of seminars in a summer vacation. Summer break, you find, for example, in Saudi Arabia, in many areas, there is seminar after seminar, so that the youth can attend and benefit the aqidah, the tawheed, the sunnah, the fiqh, the Arabic language, the tafsir, and other fields of the religion. Ikhwan al-Muslimun, they don't want the youth to learn the aqidah. They don't want them to learn the minhaj and tawheed and sunnah. They want them to stay ignorant so they can turn them as they want. So what they do? They're not going to come and tell them, don't go to Sheikh Fawzan, don't listen to Sheikh Ibn Baz. Of course, people are going to say, who should we listen to? To me. Said, who are you? This is Sheikh Ibn Baz, man. No, they don't do it like that. They're like, hey, guys, after a long... Because they promote this in flyers and TV, radios, they have their things. They promote this. By the end, when the summer break comes, they be promoting this. You worked hard, you deserve a break. All right? So, such and such. They don't say, Ikhwan Muslimun, these good people in your neighborhood, because them they play games. They establish associations in neighborhoods from your people, your neighbors. But they don't tell you, look, we were Ikhwanis and we're bad. We're going to take you away from the ulama. They don't say that. They said, no, we're going to put our efforts. We're busy, but we're taking off our job. I'm closing my business to take your children to camp for 2 months on us. Just bring your youth. Why? To take them away from the ulama. And once they take them over there, what they teach them? Aqid and Tawheed? La. They teach them the false ideologies of Al-Ikhwan, Al-Muslimun. So after the camp, that many of those youth, they come already confused. They don't know what's going on. The Hakim is this, the ruler give 100 million to, I don't know, to America. America don't need no money. That money could go to Egypt, to Palestine, to Pakistan, to Yemen, to Senegal, to Gambia, to Mali, to Nigeria. You see? They won't tell them, look, the rulers of Saudi Arabia, they, Jazakumullah Khairan, they've been helping Sudan and Pakistan and Yemen and Palestine and many, many other countries, they've been, mashallah. They don't do that. They would not. So they put this poison in their minds year after year. Now you find a person who studying the curriculum of Aqidah, Manhaj al-Salaf, in all of the books, he go against it. Why? Camps from those people. They are so dangerous. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's why it's not permissible to cooperate with the Ikhwan al-Muslimun, whatever they are. If you know any masjid in the area that is operated by the Ikhwan al-Muslimin, it's not permissible to cooperate with them or to support them in any way. Rather, it is from the Sunnah and from this deen to warn against those people. And anyone who's sympathized with the Ikhwanis, you have to tell them that what you're doing is wrong. Because of these people, not because of their color, not because of what country they come from, no, because they are upon falsehood. Okay? May Allah keep us firm upon the Sunnah and protect us from the Hizbiyun. Wa sallallahu wa sallam ala Muhammad ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallama tasliman kathira.